Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We're here again, Lord. Loving you and loving to worship you. Hallelujah. I just want to read this in John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word. Thank you, Jesus. You are the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Hallelujah. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Hallelujah. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, thank you, Father. So have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for that love, Lord God. Thank you for that love, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. We worship you. We want you to have your way. We really do, God. We really want you to have your way, Father. We worship you. We yield ourselves over to you, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for your ministry in our life.
I know there's not many people here, and it doesn't matter, really. I'll so encourage Sunday after church, just exhorting you 2 minutes. I'm not ministering the word tonight. I feel really led to ask Marty tonight to preach. But really, I'm just so excited to come hear him just because I love Jesus, no other reason. My son said to me Sunday after church, Nathaniel, said, Dad, what were you doing? I saw you. I saw you. I was in church. I was preaching. No, I saw you. What'd you see me do? What'd you see me, son? I saw you doing the Marty. I said, son, what do you mean doing the Marty? I saw you jumping up and down, son, doing the Marty. I saw you, Dad, doing the Marty. He said, you can't do it like Marty. You got to pick up your hand. You know what? It hit the spot because you know what the Marty represents to me? I don't care what you think about me. I got a celebration. You know, sometimes as a pastor, you worry about people getting here on time or who's going to worship or who's going to come or who is it going to come because Pastor Bronx here. I've had people come up to me and said, I didn't come. It wasn't because you were preaching. I said, okay. But you just basically gave yourself away a little bit, man. I didn't ask you that. Well, I didn't. The reason I didn't come is because, not because Pastor Brown preached, because you were preaching. I was so right. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You know, I'll never invite anybody to come up and worship again. You know what? It's a celebration, man. It's a celebration. Usually when you ask people to, you know why most people don't come up when you ask them to? Because you ask them to move out of their space. And between them, they say, basically, you don't tell me what to do. It all boils down to that. You don't tell me what to do. I can worship right here. That's fine, and you can. But you will never again will I ever invite anybody to come. I might invite, but I'll never push the issue. Because either he excites you, Marty, or he doesn't excite you. Either we can do the Marty because we're sons and daughters of the Most High God, or I choose to continue my journey into this man named Christ Jesus. I choose to continue. I'm with you, Marty. Right there, doing that ugly dance that we do. That ugly dance of I don't care. I'm celebrating an inheritance as a son. And I'm marching. I want my brothers with me, Miss Gay. I want them with me. I want them to feel what I'm feeling. I do want it, Gay. But it can't hinder me. It can't weigh on me. I can't worry about who comes in here at 7 o'clock. I can't worry about who worships. I just know that I'm a son of God and I have an inheritance. And I'm going to celebrate that inheritance with 9 and a half good toes till I get my good toe back. It's coming back. So the Marty, it blessed me because Marty really doesn't care. And you know, some say, well, this emotion, well, you know what? It might be. It might be. It might be emotion when I go crazy with this. So what? I can yell when the Miami Hurricanes score. That's emotion. Nobody thinks it's strange. Might be a little emotion, but to me, it's more of a celebration. David celebrated the Ark of the Covenant in his presence, and he danced. The people, they mourned him. They scorned him. My friends, we got more than the Ark. We got a spiritual DNA and God Almighty through the person of the Holy Spirit that indwells me in you. So I say to you, Marty, the Marty is now the official dance of the Family Prayer Center. Dad, you can't do the Marty like Marty. So I don't even know what the Marty is, son. Well, you are doing this. You got to lift up your hand like Marty does. I stand corrected, Nathaniel. I will do the Marty in correct manner. I think I can do it better than him because he has no rhythm. He's like Pastor Brock. I got rhythm. I'm Hispanic. We created dancing. But it blesses me because it's, who cares, right, Marty? We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, man. We have life. We have his word that's been fulfilled 2,000 years ago. So what do you celebrate? I celebrate all that he's done, all that he's gonna do, and all that he is. I'm going in with you, or I'm going in without you. It doesn't matter who's here. I ministered at a church last night and we had a glorious time. Glorious time. Lady that has 6 or 7 worshipers in her church and it doesn't faze her. She's there every Tuesday ministering God's word with 6 or 7 people in her church. And I thank those that provided the finances to go, and I thank the Plumundon family that have redefined servanthood. I thank Terry for riding with us. And you know what? You know what I loved? I loved the anointing that was there. Had so many power compliments about the word. So many. It all started with the worship. It's not the work of one person. We were there, you know what? In unity as a family. The fellowship with them two crazy boys that they have, and the fellowship with Marty and Gay, that's second to none. And them boys are crazy. They're crazy. But I had a blast in Christ, and I had a blast with my brothers and my sisters. My friends, let's continue this journey into God. I'm going in. I don't mean to be rude. I'm going in with it without you. Marty is the official dance of this church. I say, let's celebrate Jesus like never before. These altars are always open because we're a family. That's my place of worship. Here, corporately. The true place of worship is my house in my lanai. But this is just the fruit of what I do behind closed doors. And I'm just touching the hem of his garment when it comes to worship, getting undignified. There's going to be a day where I might jump over the roof or do a split. No, I can't do a split. But the Marty represents freedom. I don't care, Jesus. I worship you and I praise you, God. If I get a little emotional, if I get a little crazy, then so be it. Amen. Hallelujah. So Marty's got the service. We're going to keep worshiping, I assume. And let's go with the flow, man. Amen. Hallelujah.
Celebrate, God. So much to be thankful for.
Father,
yes, Jesus.
We do worship you, Father. On the lerebe kin, the lerebe si, on the lerebe shin, the larabo kis. I have made you more than conquerors. There's nothing else for you to be. I have made you more than conquerors. That's all I can do. It is provided for. I don't know how to say the next part. Stand up. It was either stand up or get up. Because I did not put you down. You put yourself down. Stand up, get up. The life of Jesus on the inside of you, my son, is all you need to stand up and get up. If you choose to sit down, I cannot help you because I cannot override your free will. If you choose to sit and continue to sit, pride, self-pity, envy, strife, murders are not far. You must get up, you must stand up, you must stay up. You cannot stay like that. Your life depends on it. The precious life on the inside of you depends on you standing up. You must stand up. Your enemy, Satan, does not care about you. He cares about the precious life on the inside of you. He must destroy you from within. Do not let him do this. Do not let him do this. Because he can't do this. You understand? He cannot do this. So get up and stand up. More than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Fight for this. Fight for this with all that you have, with all that I've given you, with with all the grace that I've bestowed upon you, you have what you need. You can do this. Yes, sir.
Yes, Jesus. We say yes to you. Yes, sir.
I spent a good part of my Christian life sitting in a dirt hole that I dug myself. And I always wondered why God didn't fill it up with water and float me out. Because when you fill up a dirt hole with water, you're in a mud hole. And that's worse. Self-inflicted, not really. Envy, strife, murder, emulations. I mean, those are things that we should get rid of. They'll kill you. What other people do has nothing to do with you. It doesn't matter what it is. What they do has nothing to do with you. Because of this one fact, the blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful than anything that anyone can do. We can't do this in and of ourselves in any way, shape, or form. I know that. I'm not a fool. I've lived long enough, and I've sat in the dirt hole long enough. And I was mad because somebody didn't come and get me out of there. Well, I'm not on a political thing, but I'm glad I'm not a Democrat.
Amen.
And I'm sorry to say it that way, but a helping hand in the natural makes a person powerless in and of themselves to do what they need to do, which is develop mental grit to stick with whatever they need to do. I can't tell you what it is for you. I can't tell you what it is for anybody. But anything that makes you weak will not make you strong. There's no way. And if you're strong, don't make someone else weak. I spent 10 years after I got saved the same. I was exactly the same way I was, except for I had the new nature. My sins were washed away. But let me put it this way, I'm saying it the wrong way. I was born again, but I was not saved. I was born again, but I was not saved. Because saved has more to do with the threefold curse of the law. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you will be saved. This isn't a verse for unbelievers. They don't have the ability to understand God's word. So that verse can't be to them. So if that verse is to me and you, then we're talking about something that takes place after. The new nature makes its abode. The Holy Spirit makes a place. Filled with the Holy Ghost next or not, makes no difference. It would be better. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you will be saved. There's no clause there that says someone will come and do it for you, someone will come and help you. I mean, yeah, there is. The Holy Spirit will come and help you if you pray in tongues. Because you might not make it in and of yourself. Yeah, the devil can't make you do anything, but with all the junk that's in this world, we see too much, we hear too much. Pop culture is too powerful a tool of the enemy, and it's destroying people. And there's nothing you can do about it in the natural. You can't join the Tea Party. You can't join the Republicans. You can't join. They're all just a bunch of ding-dongs as far as I'm concerned. They mean well, but they're not going to do squat. They can't. You can't. Fear cannot eradicate fear. Worry cannot eradicate worry. You can't worry yourself out of not worrying. We all know that. I'm a professional worrier, at least I was. I come from a long line of professional worriers. Most worriers don't live very long. They die a painful death because they worry themselves into hating everybody around them. Because it's somebody's fault this didn't work. Because I'm a genius. I just got this figured out. I just need a few good men. God can't send you anybody because you destroy people as fast as you meet them. I know. Envy, strife, murder. It's just, that's why it's called murder. Carried around in our hearts. Well, they just didn't measure up. They stole from me. Well, of course they did. They're thieves. What did you think they were going to do? You know what I mean? It's like we're just so surprised, you know. Well, God didn't send me a perfect Christian. It's like, if I was a perfect Christian, I wouldn't work for me. Not the way I was. I'd probably want to work for me now, though. I got very low standards. I don't mean I'm sloppy or don't take... I expect people to do what they're capable of doing. I really do. 1 John. Child, young man, father, whatever you are, that's what you do. You can't expect any more or any less, and you shouldn't. It makes no difference. And besides that, what you are is what you take with you. Your insides create your reality. That really sucks, too. Bad. Because I do not like some of the things that are in my reality. I like them now. I didn't like them. I'm referring to back. Not current, present time. I was trying to think about how I used to be. And it's hard to describe to you my personality, how it was. I mean, I guess I'm a lot like I am now, but the only difference was the inner turmoil that I carried around with me was great. And that doesn't mean that I had some and anybody else wouldn't, but when it's yours and it is destructive in your home, you got two choices. You either have to drink, you got to take some kind of medication, or you have to leave because you're going to hurt somebody. And I was always on the edge of possibly hurting somebody. You know, when you grow up with any amount of violence whatsoever in your home, any amount of alcoholism, you know, it's who you are, unfortunately. It shouldn't be, but you shouldn't be a fool to think that in and of yourself, you're just going to get up and be different, because you'll wake up 20 years later, mad, depressed, the same as your folks. Or not. I mean, I don't know. I'm just speaking from my own experience. And I don't mean any disrespect to my parents, because if I had it any other way, I mean, I would choose how I grew up. Because everything, the best parts of me, I got from them. I mean, the things that I love the most about my life came from them. I mean, if I had it any other way, I mean, I don't know what I would do. But even like Homer, you know, dance the Marty, you know, come down here, act like a fool. Do you know that when I leave from here, I won't be upset, and I won't be mad at myself, and I won't be depressed and in a pity party? There was a time I would have been. For a little while, I had to fight my way through that. When I first started coming down, I came down because of a prophecy that Pastor gave. Things weren't going well. Not well at all. We've been here a couple years. We were praying like wild people. I mean, we were praying more than what they would advise anybody who just came to the prayer center. I mean, we were getting in hours a day for people that worked. Didn't have a television. Kids were younger. Listened to everything Dave and Gary had multiple times over because you needed something to mark out that hour or you would go crazy. Because I was crazy. I was crazy. And I may have had extra personalities to go with it because there were times when I'd be happy and other times I would be wanting to murder somebody. I would just boom, boom, and then, you know, next thing you know, confrontational and hey, where'd that lunatic come from? Like, I had him in my back pocket. I have him for special occasions when I really need to win. Oh, a believer can't have a devil. I don't know if they can or not, but I felt like I sure did. And you could call it what you want, but it wasn't God. Wasn't anything I could do about it. I had developed this way of living and being from the inside. I had to change. It took so long. Oh my gosh. I thought I was gonna die. If I had anywhere else to go, I would have went there. If I hadn't already been around the block, to this one, to that one, I mean, this was it. If you guys at this church didn't help my family, we were going to self-destruct and destroy ourselves, and that was going to be it. If those of you sitting out there didn't welcome us in, treat us like you did, which was wonderful. You treated us like we were part of the, just like we'd always been here. I mean, wow. I mean, right in the middle of all the good stuff, too. There were no secrets in this church. There was stuff flying and hitting the wall. It was wow, ooh, wow, whoa, what? Oh, who said what? Who did what? Oh, my God. Well, okay. I couldn't even hold down a job when I came here. I couldn't even work. I couldn't even hold two thoughts together. If I went somewhere, this is what we used to call it where I used to, the vernacular that I used to have. You would say, and this is kind of a side note to explain what I'm trying to say. You know, you'd go and you would say, look at a house. You're going to buy this house. You look at the house, you walk around the house, and you say, I got peace about that. I'm going to buy that house. Of course, we know now that's not the way to do things. I got peace about that. Well, I would go to work and I would lose my peace. I didn't know what was going on, but it was an emotional peace. So, you know, defined simply by Dave Roberson. That's emotional peace. This is peace. Peace stays. This comes and goes. This will let you down when you need it the most, which was when I needed to go to work and earn money to feed my family. You know, I just have to run. I was at jobs for 3 days. I had to run. I had to get out of there. It was like I was freaking out. I have to get out of here. I can't be here. I wasn't going to hurt anybody, but I wanted to crawl in a hole and hide. I can't be here. I don't know why I can't be here. And nobody understood. My family, they're like, what's wrong with you? Can't keep a job? Oh, 1 minute I know you're on top of the world making money, and now you can't even keep a job. What's wrong with you? If I was you, I'd get a job. I was like, well, if you don't shut your mouth, I'm going to... You're going to need some new teeth. Because I'm this close. I'm not a violent person, but I bet I can find somebody in there. I got about four to pick from. One will chew your leg off, the other will bite your ear. I've seen Mike Tyson. I know how to do it. He's coming out of the cage. Or I just go home and yell at my family. How embarrassing. You know, go home, take out my frustration on them. And just boom, you know. Oh. Don't tell me what to do. It's like, doesn't matter. You're not going to do it anyway. I mean, you can't even, you know. So I sold everything. Sold everything. Me and my wife looked at each other in the eye, and we said, we're going to find God somewhere, somehow. The only thing I got is Faith 101. I knew those principles. I didn't know anybody that exercised faith. So I didn't know, didn't have the stamina. I didn't have what it took to even faith anything. I needed a miracle. I needed one bad. And I was willing to do anything to get it. I thought I needed maybe an anointing or something. I don't know. I mean, you don't know when you don't know. You know, you don't know what's up, you don't know what's up. All you know is it's wrong. And when everybody around you has, I mean, I just hate those. If I was you, and you're like, no, you didn't. You did not just say, if you were me. Because nobody can be you. No one knows what you go through as a person to get through the day or to not get through the day. No one knows. That's your own special thing between you and the Lord and your family. Nobody knows what you go through. And I can't feel sorry for you either. Because only you and the Lord Jesus Christ can just keep at it. I really thought I was going to die if it didn't happen quick. But I didn't know about quick, so I didn't expect quick. I was just lost. Been saved 10 years, filled with the Holy Ghost. Laid hands on the sick, seen him recover. You know, I'll bet you my story is no different than pastors if you laid them side by side. I mean, I tell more of the juicy stuff. He won't tell too much juicy stuff. You got to talk to his sister, Deanne. Tell us some juicy stuff on Rock. Come on, tell us. How do you used to really act? I mean, I don't want to know. That's not right, but, you know, yeah, you are. I want to know, but I don't want to know. This is wrong. I have to repent, but just tell me now, because I know I won't forget. Oh, man. That's funny, you know. You make plenty of money. Mean as a snake. Dumb as a doorbell. Want to serve God with your whole heart. Got nothing to serve him with but a new nature. Just barely keep from sinning. I mean, really. Except for the stuff, you know, envy and strife where you hate people and stuff. But, I mean, weren't really doing anything that, you know, we didn't have to go clean out the pornography and any of that stuff. I mean, didn't have to dump out the liquor cabinet and didn't have to go burn the CDs. We didn't have any. All we had was Christian music. And we were dying. We were dying. Modern day Christianity was killing us. And it was killing everybody I knew. I had hundreds of friends that I'd known, lifelong friends, gone to church with, kids raised up together, watching them die, get divorced, fall away. I mean, it's not much of a falling away when you're falling away, when you start out. But stop going to church and stop looking pretty anymore. How's that? If that's the great falling away, I don't know. Not much of a falling away. It's more like a sidestep. But do you know that the day that we said, this is it, okay? We knew we had to cut the apron string with who we were being fed from. Call it food, call it poison. I know as a minister of the gospel, you're not supposed to have a low opinion of people no matter what they do because they deserve the blood. But what is being fed in the body of Christ is arsenic. And if it ain't arsenic, it is styrofoam peanuts at best. Because that'll clog you up and kill you, I'm sure. Try to eat that, dip it in ketchup. After a while, you're like, ugh. Starting to sound good, ain't it, Homer? Ketchup. Ain't had any ketchup in a while. But would you know? Got the scissors out, cut the apron string. Said, okay. Okay, God. We have done all we know to do. Our hearts have... I mean, you know how it is when you cry out to God. You think yelling helps. We didn't yell, but... And what do you know? That particular day... Of course, we were in charge of stuff. We weren't just like... I mean, we weren't just sitting in the back. I mean, we went all the way to the front row. And... You know, had hundreds of people coming over for Bible study, sometimes 50, sometimes 150, depending on, you know, it was a singles ministry we were leading. And then there was Sunday school, and then there was a dozen ushers and communion services, and then there were prayer lines where we ministered the prayer line with, you know, me and Gay and half a dozen other people, praying for people, taking these hands, setting them on people and saying, in the name of Jesus. And it was like taking two cold dead fish out of the freezer and sticking it on somebody's head. And you're going, something is supposed to happen because there's nothing wrong with me. Right? There's nothing wrong with me. I didn't kill anybody this week. No anointing. And we knew it because we had seen... We had been around the anointing a little bit enough to where we knew what it was and we knew what it was not. We didn't know where the switch was. They hid the switch. It had a switch you could find. So I didn't know, was it my belly button or, you know, did you have to shout and exuberant and anointing come? New people with anointing. I knew people. I had met people with the love of God. And that's hard to find because I know loving people who can be loving twice a week. You know, I might be one of them people, I don't know. But these people had the love of God. I took a vacation. I told this man, I said, I'm going to come stay at your house for 2 weeks, my 2 week paid vacation. And I said, I want to see what goes on. Full-time minister with a church just like ours, small, but had an anointing. People came, they never stayed. They'd come, get ministered to, filled with the Holy Ghost. They'd go find a church that ministered to them, you know. This church over here ministers to me, which, you know, is key for it. It feeds my flesh. It, they, you know, makes me feel good because I'm not going to... I want an emotional high because if it don't hurry up and get here, you know, of course, you spend your whole life that way, you're dead. You're dead while you still live. You're dead while you live. Went to this man's house, stayed there for 2 weeks. Tiny little church. That's where I learned the Marty. I didn't do it, but that's where I learned it. I watched this old man, fat Italian man, and his fat Jewish wife. You know, the old songs, I don't know if y'all ever did any of them old praise songs, you know, where you... They were just, you know, they was getting it, you know. Just... The guy had rhythm. I was like, how do you get that rhythm? Lift a leg, fall over. Help me up. I wasn't slain in the spirit. I ain't got no rhythm. I don't know which leg to use first. And I watched people get offended because just the way they acted caused them to question their own Christianity. Who do they think they are making us feel bad that we're not up doing what they're doing? People that shouldn't say that. You know, these people are dead now. They've gone on to be with the Lord, but I watched people who were excited, did amazing things, heal the sick, raise the dead, chase ambulances, rip the doors open, grab people that in the name of Jesus. And the guy kicks you out and you roll across the sidewalk, waiting for another one. Grab homeless people up off the street, take them to your house, just all kinds of stuff. Bible study in your living room, and then turn around and say, a person with the love of God is convicting me so much that I'm just going to be mad about it because I don't have it, because it's owed to me. What's this mentality? It's owed to me. I mean, that's not what they said, but that's what their heart said. I could hear it just plain as day, because I was like shocked, because I just saved. I'm excited. I'm chasing ambulances. I'm inviting homeless people to my house. I was like, you guys used to be like that. Now you're like this. And I'm like, well, dude, what are y'all eating? Because I don't want none of that. They're sitting in front of the TV. Their diet of the word was TV preachers. Killed them dead in a doornail. They went home in shame. Their former glory wasn't glorious at all. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing for what they did and where they could have gone. And the no that was so loud. And the devil that subtly comes in and sits next to you and whispers in your ear and begins to teach you. Scriptures miscommunicated, familiar verses with a slant, all because I don't want to pray in tongues. Next thing you know, you can't wait for Benny Hinn to come back on because you're hoping maybe this time you'll get healed when you know better, when you know the word is nigh you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. You just got to say it. Well, I said it once. It's like, oh my God, really? It's okay that you don't want to. It's okay that I don't want to, but it's not the truth. The truth is you have to say it a lot. And you're going to get mad, sick of it, and you're going to wonder why, you know, what's this? Well, what it is you just don't believe it, and you have to train yourself to believe. You didn't have to train yourself to not believe. You didn't have to train yourself to be crazy. That just comes. All you got to do is drink the water that comes out of the tap, because that's what we all did that we have in common. It must come from the water. It has to. We all drink tap water. We get, you know, some kind of water. It's H2O. That's what it is. It has to be, because it's nothing we did, right? This world is so aggressive. The spirit of this world, it is so aggressive. Pop culture affected our family so much that I didn't even know I was affected by it. It's affected everybody so much that there are certain words that you just can't say anymore. A guy named Richard, back in the old days, he had a different name and it was fine. I still know people with that name. And everybody says it like it's fine, but because of pop culture, you just can't say it without blushing and you won't say it. You're like, hi, friend. Hey, buddy. Good to see you. How you doing there, uncle or whatever? But I realize how much pop culture affects us. And then we'll say, well, I can watch this because there's nothing bad in it. But year after year, year after year, you know, it dulls your senses. You'll find yourself not praying in tongues. You'll find yourself in the bottom of a dirt hole. And if you don't get out of it, you may never get out, because time is against you. Time is either our greatest asset or our greatest enemy. There's no middle ground anymore. There's no place to hide. You can't hide in pop culture, modern Christianity, make excuses. You can't say, I didn't know. Because the glory of God is covering the earth as we speak. Revival is here in Immokalee. Do you want to know why I know revival's here in Immokalee? Because I've seen in the spirit realm. I've seen the structures erected in the spirit that represent things that I don't even understand. That we have probably, you know, I know how Pastor says it, we and others. I don't know any others. Maybe there's others. You know. I also know this because when the elders of this church are all here and they're on the top of their game and they're not asleep, tired, beat down from worry, because it's not from work, it's just from the worry that we allow it. Worry chokes the word. Worry robs our strength. I've seen it to where the elders have walked in this building, taken their prospective places, participated, and the glory of God fall. I've seen Pastor Bronk drag himself through a pile of murky muck while everybody else was yawning and distracted and allowed it. Me too. I was like, man, I'm so sorry. I really am. My bad. I mean, because somebody's life was on the line, walked through these doors, and I took my eye off the ball. And maybe I didn't, I mean, you know, what we do at home, we bring here. So if we're worrying at home, it's going to be real hard to focus here. It's so important for us to get free, because you won't be able to handle anything. I mean, when I first came here, I had to get free by getting rid of everything because it was too big. I inherited a business that was big. It grew to, okay, I'll tell you what it grew to when I decided to say, oh no, I can't do this. I'll destroy my family and I'll more than likely start another. Destroy that one, start another. I mean, you know, that's the cycle. If you destroy one, you get lonely, you start another, right? I mean, I guess that's what people do. So this business, let me think here. About $1 million a year gross is what it turned into when I turned loose of it. I let go of it just in the nick of time. I was so happy. That money would have destroyed me because I couldn't manage it. I couldn't even handle standing up, looking around, and not drilling on myself and flipping out because I didn't know what to do. It had just went whoosh. It just took off. And I was the only one in town that did this. I was like, and the other people that came from out of town, nobody trusted them because the people in this town, if you ain't from here, it's like, you know, hey man, you know, you got that Yankee accent. I don't know about you. You know. And I didn't look back. I didn't say, oh man, if I would have just, you know, could have had money. if I made $1 million gross, I'd have spent $1.5 million running it. Yeah, you gotta respect a guy like that. You really do. That takes talent. I mean, that's basically what I do now. It's just much smaller. So it's not so bad. It's like, yeah, it's all right. We'll have a good year soon. We'll make that up. I mean, any job that we bid at, say, 50 grand, I tell them, you know, I can do it for 60, 70, easy. If I bid it for 50, it's still going to do 60 or 70. I don't care what you say. I want to kind of see if we can work that out, you know, as we're riding the crazy train. And it doesn't work out so good. So I started praying in tongues. Took 8 hours a day to pray three or four, maybe three. Is that what it was, Gay? Yeah, took 8 hours a day to pray three. I had to set aside that much time in order to get in 3 hours. It's just restless, you know. Soul's all, you know. You gotta get up and worry about stuff. Can't stop it. It's a runaway train. It is a runaway train. I decided to stop trying to hang on to it. I just prayed in tongues and went around, went back, sat down, prayed some more. And I did that for 8 hours a day, prayed 3 hours. Then I started praying in tongues for an hour. I think I was worshiping for an hour. Cold turkey on the floor. I love you, Jesus. Yes, I do. Who are you? I love you. I don't know you, but I'm going to say it anyway because that's the only way I can get there because that's what the book says. Who else am I going to trust? And you want to know why? Because somebody took me to a conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Didn't know about this place. Hadn't been here yet. Didn't know Pastor Bronx. That's Joel Ortiz. That's where I was going. You know, I said, I don't know Pastor Bronx. Some white guy went to a mosque. I ain't impressed with that. So what are you talking about? Stupidest thing I ever heard. It really was. I said, it just sounds dumb altogether. I said, why would I want to go over there? I said, some white guy come over here and go save the Spanish people. I said, what's wrong with him? Of course, that had nothing to do with it, but that was my perception. Because that's what everybody did. You know, well, we're going to have a missionary. We're going to go to Mockley. We're going to give away clothes. They're going to sell them at a garage sale because they need money. It's like, you know, why don't you just give them some money? Cut out all the busyness. But, you know, people got an entrepreneurial spirit. I think it's great. I really don't care. It makes you happy, you know, and it keeps you busy and you're productive. Hey, that's good. That's a good thing. You okay? All right. So, sitting there at a conference, free pickles and donuts. I'm like, yes, I like this place. Like Peter and them, hey, can we build a tabernacle here? They just do it for the conferences, you know. It's like, yes. No one ever gave me any free food before. It's like, yes. You know, it's kind of like stealing food in a way. Like, this is good stuff. Pastor Joel would get one of them big ones with the cinnamon on it. And he just, every time we'd go, he'd get one of those. That was his, he'd get that and he'd just sit there. I guess they don't make those down here, I guess. I've never seen one before, but he'd get one of those. You know, cream cheese or whatever, glazed donuts. Go in there, and Joel says, we need to sit here because when they call the prayer line, we got to run. I'm like, run from who? Who's going to chase us? No, I mean, And then, instead of that, he jumps up and says, oh, I'm going to go help catch. And I'm following him because he's my escort. You know, I don't know how to hang around these people. So I'm following him, and I got a suit on. Because, I mean, it's the only church clothes I had. I got a suit on, and I'm just, you know. I'm with him. They're catching people and they're falling. And the usher's like, you gotta get out of the way. And I'm like, for what? It's like a bonehead, you know? It's like, what are you doing up here? I really don't know. Following Joel. He's supposed to help me. He left me here. But before that, I see the book. You know, Dave's got his suit and tie, black hair. Here comes this entourage out of the back. Guy with a bowling shirt on, walking like this, head flopping around. And the anointing that came with that guy. And the funny thing was, is I knew which one of them dozen people had the anointing that came out of there. I knew the rest of them had that guy. And whatever it had, it just jumped out and just kissed me. I was like, I don't know where Dave Roberson is today, but whatever that guy has, I want. I didn't know that's who it was. Whatever he's got, I want. It's whatever it is, it's I don't know what that is. Because, you know, we weren't playing any upbeat music, so it wasn't like, you know, some sensational devil grabbed a hold of me and, you know, got to bring out the wet blankets, calm everybody down. So, okay, come back. Then Dave comes here. I don't even know what year this is. I have no idea. Church is busting because we come when Dave comes. Sound booth's over there. It's a little smaller. Chairs all the way to the back. You know. Same thing. I don't close my eyes. Worshiping. Door opens. I'm like, what is that? That's that guy. I knew who it was then. I'm like, wow. phooey on this Pastor Bronx dude, you know. He's the same way with him, though, you know. But it's just that he grabbed me first, so I was like, eh, sorry. So praying in tongues, you know, we prayed a lot, so we hit impasses real quick. And it was really a good idea to pray a lot real quick. It really is a good idea to knock out 2 or 3 hours of prayer time at a time. It really is. It's the best way to do it. You'll get there quicker. You'll get madder quicker, but you'll get answers quicker, because if you're really hungry, while that hunger and that fire is burning, you can get there quicker. If you do it too slow, you start getting a little apathy, you start getting discouraged, and then you quit. And then you start digging a hole with a shovel. It's like, well, that's not praying in tongues. Yeah, but I'm digging a hole because I'm going to hide in it, because I hate myself. And it's like, well, fine. So, sit down. I'm like, okay, fine. Pray in tongues. I'm going to read the word now. I kind of, 6 hours a day now praying. Instead of 8 for 3, I was doing 6 straight. But I need something to keep my mind busy still, so I read the Bible. So for 2 weeks, 6 hours a day, Monday through Friday, I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Had to get in a chair, sit on the floor. You know, I had a dining room chair, sat on the floor, had another chair somehow. I had to get just right, and I, you know, grab lunch, go sit down. Do you know the day I finished? September 11th. And that's when I stopped praying for a little while, because we watched TV for a month. But wow, the impasses and not knowing what they were, and knowing that an impasse is just a brick wall of me, and it starts out being everybody around me, because, you know, it's just how you're used to doing things. You're used to passing judgment. Well, you don't work hard enough. You don't clean your room. You know, you're used to judging things by what you see with your natural eyes. So when you hit an impasse, your habits kick in, which are, it's this, it's that. I need to change things in the natural. When really, you're fixing to step into a whole new world that you don't even know what it has for you. Because as soon as you break through, you're at a place where there's a little bit more and a little bit better of everything God has. And we're throwing down some 7-day fasts, which were real fun. And they were easy back then. Now it's like, oh man, what were you thinking? Drives me nuts. It's like, and not that I want to brag, I just want to do one for a long time. Because I need to. I don't see how a 1-day fast is going to work. Which it will. I mean, they say it will, so I have to believe them. So we kind of slowed down a little bit. We're like second year here. Got thrown under the bus. Literally. It was Homer's bus. That was a wild ride. I'm like, oh man, what did I get myself into? Reuben had gotten upset and quit driving the bus for a little while. And next thing you know, I mean, first I was on the bus riding with everybody. And next thing you know, I was the only one driving the bus. I'm like, where did everybody go? I was like, they can't all be having impasses too, can they? It's like, wow. But at first it was like a pride thing. You know, like, man, I come to Immokalee, I'm driving the church bus. You know, throw that thing in drive, put it on the floor, and just throw that thing around the corner, you know. Everybody in Mockley drives that way with bus, you know. It's like, all right, you know. And then, you know, the devil showed up. Then it got ugly on the bus, and then I didn't know how to handle it because I was used to yelling at people and setting people straight. But one guy telling a bunch of people from Mockley to get straight is like, don't even think about it. They'll throw you off the bus, take your bus. Be walking back to church. They took my bus. So got discouraged, got tired. Started working more, got more tired. working hard for nothing, working real hard for nothing. Come in the door. There's a prophecy. I don't know what order this happened. These two things happened. Conference in Houston. Me and Otto went. Halfway through the conference, I called back. I borrowed money from somebody to bring Gay out because something was happening there that was very powerful that I felt would save our lives. And so I wanted her there for that anointing to be in it. Not that I knew what that meant, but there was something happening there that I liked, and I wanted her to be there with me. Because I didn't want to come home excited and her like, "You're excited? How? Why?" You know, I can't explain it. But if you come here, you can experience it. We can walk together. That was important. There's a prophecy. If you want it to go better, come down front and worship, and it'll go better for you. Whatever life, I guess, I don't know. I have to look it back up. It was right before the Houston conference, the first one. Probably easy to find. So we say, okay, that's it. We were only coming on Sunday then. No Friday night, no Wednesday night. Gay wasn't doing confessions then because we weren't coming. Sitting at home, watching movies. Hardly praying anymore. You know, we said, that's it. Got a bunch of stuff from Gary. Started praying an hour with the kids and everybody. Listened to everything Gary had. That's when we really started listening to a lot. Before that, I listened to everything Dave had in my camper and got through a lot of that stuff, you know, really quickly. Prayed a lot, but then I started working again. I couldn't figure out, because I prayed during the day. So then when I started working during the day, I was like, what do I do? You know, it's like, ugh. I mean, I didn't realize that I had won like a battle there for those hours, and then when they transferred into night hours, I hadn't won that battle. I'd start all over again, and it was terrible. I was like, oh man, that was bad. You know, you'd rather get it right when you're excited and you don't know any better, and then, you know. So we're standing down here worshiping. Yeah, yeah, you know. My legs hurt so bad I couldn't stand it. I could not stand. I was like, oh my God. I was in so much pain, my knees hurt, and they hurt for years. I mean, I couldn't stand up for very long at all. My knees would hurt. I kept getting in prayer line. So finally, you know, I would just kind of start, you know, I start lifting my legs like this. Not to move them around, just to, I wanted to worship, you know, when some of the faster songs were on. So I'd just lift my legs. You know, I wouldn't really jump because, you know, that hurt bad. Do you know that one day they stopped hurting and it hadn't hurt since? That was a long time ago. Now I could jump up and down, all kinds of stuff. And so that's why I stand down there in a nutshell, kind of, about an hour nutshell maybe. I don't do it for attention. I don't do it because it's, you know, makes anybody else happy. I do it because I have to. My life depends on it. And now that I'm down there, I'm used to it. I like it. I feel comfortable now. I can jump around a little bit. Very comfortable. Very comfortable. Because I just adapted to it. I don't feel comfortable at all down there now. So, free. The Marty dance. Yay. Somebody's got to go get a basket. Take up an offering for the church tonight. This offering's for the church. It's church only, not for me. Not for Homer. At least I don't think. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening to me. I got some really good stuff in the Word that I've just been dying to. Every time I come here, it's like all I can do is just talk about myself. I mean, am I selfish or am I crazy? You know, I got verses and all kinds of stuff, and it's like, this is what I do. So it's like, oh, man. So it's not a competition. And you got a pastor. And you got a website with thousands of hours, all kinds of good stuff on it. So one more guy with 20 verses and 3 points and a thingy, you know, whatever. Father, I thank you for this evening. Father, just ask you right now to bless every person that's here and every family that's represented. I may not be the most eloquent, well-trained preacher there's ever been, but let something that was said tonight, Father, touch the hearts of the people. And we thank you for this night. We thank you for this offering. In Jesus' name. And you can bring it down, and then you're dismissed.